now an inspiring story of a woman, a single mom, who had just about hit rock bottom a few years ago. Christine Lincoln was recovering from drug addiction. Her son was ill and she could barely pay the hospital bills. But she took a chance, regained faith in herself, and applied to college to become a writer. Last week, after her graduation from Washington College on Maryland's Eastern Shore, all her work paid off. Christine Lincoln won the Sophie Kerr Prize, $54,000, the largest undergraduate literary award in the country. It was all thanks to her senior thesis, a collection of moving stories about the African-American experience.
When she reached the intersection of Bologna and Charles Way, Abby waited at the corner. Just two dirt roads, really, one ending about a half mile at the woods. The creek was over there, between moss woods and the orchards. Abby had started going there on her way home from school every day. She'd race across the road and down the hill, through Egypt Farms and into the gully that led to the creek bed. She'd throw herself at the water's edge, kneel down so her face hovered merely inches above it, trying to catch any sign that the sap was rising, trying to see the white foam that floated on top of the surface and looked like spun sugar. And each day, nothing. Just the sound of her shoes slapping a beat against the dust as she ran on home.
This is Sap Rising, the title story of Christine Lincoln's senior thesis. It's about a free-spirited young woman struggling to decide whether she's ready to settle down. Lincoln says many of her stories reflect her own life, her childhood in rural Maryland, and her young adult years in Baltimore.
Yeah, it was hard. It was real hard. I was a single mother. I didn't have any money. I had no place to live, and I had to move back home and to my mother's house with my son.
Then what made you go to college, back to this town in Chestertown, Maryland?
Well, my girlfriend was in college at Baltimore City Community College, my best friend, and she said to me one day that, because I was helping her with her homework, and she said, "You're the one who really needs to be in college." And then I began to realize that I'd always wanted to be a writer, and that I was going to pursue that dream.
And you had a lot of faith in yourself to be able to take that leap back to school.
I was terrified.
How did you convince them to take you into this program?
The essay that I wrote for to get in was really, I think, the most convincing. I based it on my grandfather, who was a young boy who had a dream of going to college. And he took the tests to go to high school and scored so high that he was accused of cheating. And because he was so proud, they told him to come back and take the test over by himself, and he refused. And when I was in the 11th grade, I was going to quit school, and he told me that story about that little boy, and I didn't know any of this, that my grandfather only had an 8th grade education. And I realized that he said that when he grew up, his new dream was, okay, since he didn't get to go to college, he would send his children and his grandchildren. And so I made the realization, well, I was this man's dream. And so not only was I doing it for myself, but I was doing it for my grandfather, who died in 1989, but I was doing it for my son.
Lincoln and her son, Taki, will soon head off on a new adventure to South Africa, where she'll begin graduate studies and will be able to continue her writing. And for the record, here's the rest of her prize-winning story, Sap Rising.
Abby entered the Fisher place. What would one day be her place if she said yes? Then she would be treated like all the rest of the married women. There'd be an engagement party, and then a wedding. She'd wear a simple, sleeveless, tea-length dress the color of a field of blue morning glories. She'd let Loretta twist the same flowers throughout her thick, coarse hair, and her father, who never went to church, would be able to wear his gray suit with the matching hat, and she would glide down the aisle on his arm, and his hands would be clean and soft. Then for 2 weeks after, the womenfolk would come by with plates, Mrs. Jarvis's potato salad, Mrs. Francis's catfish, and Mrs. Roberta's peach cobbler, and her mama's home-squeezed lemonade. She wouldn't have to do nothing except take care of Leonard. The only time she'd leave the bed would be to make a plate of food for her husband. She did like the sound of that word. Abby had never been here to look for him. She could see the car in the garage. He was home. She made her way into the yard and went to knock on the screen door when a movement caught her eye. Turned her head, and off in the distance she could see someone. It took her a few moments to realize it was Leonard. He wore what looked like a brown work hat, pulled down tight on his head. He was driving the tractor, the monotonous drone of the engine filling the air. She knew that he would never be able to hear her if she called out to him, and so she stood riveted by the sight of that man riding back and forth through row after row of corn stubble. She realized, no matter how long she stood there, he wouldn't look up. Abby sagged against the door, suddenly tired. She stayed that way for a while, reluctant to go. But finally she turned and left the yard. The farther away she got, the faster she walked until she found herself running down the road. She ran until it felt like she couldn't breathe, ran until the clouds of dust kicked up by her feet made her disappear. That night, Leonard waited in the orchards, too tired to notice the intoxicating scent of ripening fruit. There were no street lights, just the moon to navigate her way, the sway of her hips moving her through the night like a ship crossing the ocean, moving her closer to where the train's whistle sang its lament.
The story is called Sap Rising. The writer, recent college graduate and 34-year-old single mom, Christine Lincoln. She's this year's recipient of the Sophie Kerr Prize, the nation's largest undergraduate literary award.